So this Sunday, I'm going to continue again. I'm believing God's presence, the Holy Spirit. Say this with me. I believe God's presence, the Holy Spirit. Say it again. I believe God's presence, the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus told the disciples, you shall baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there was a reason why he said that. And the Holy Spirit is evident today. The Holy Spirit did not go away, but the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus said, I must go because it's to your advantage that I leave, that I may send the Comforter, I may send the Holy Spirit. And so as the church sees the importance of the Holy Spirit in their life, as not only the church, but our individual lives, God knew that we needed a helper. Say, needed a helper. I need a helper, the Holy Spirit. In this day and age, people are becoming more independent than ever before. They become islands. Well, that isn't God's plan. The church was to be a plan of togetherness, of knit hearts together to be the body of Christ. And so today I'm going to talk about two words, function and dysfunction. How is the church designed to function, and how the Christian's supposed to function in society, as family, as business, government, and the church? As we read the Word of God, we will see all those things in here of how we're to function, not dysfunction. Amen? Whatever the church has accomplished, it has accomplished by the grace of God. And when I state that the church, now listen, has done and is doing greater works than Jesus, this is not to imply the church is superior to Jesus in any way. And sometimes people have put the church far superior to Jesus, and that doesn't work. It does not work. Rather, Jesus commissioned us to do greater works than he did just by giving us the Holy Spirit to empower us in that work. Well, you want to see evidence? Let's look at John 14. Jesus actually spoke these words, and there was a reason why he spoke these words. As we look at John 14, 12, it says, most assuredly, he's not saying kind assuredly, he's saying most assuredly. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do. And so when we think of the church, it's very important that we understand that he's saying, these works I've done, but you're going to do greater works. I go to the Father so you can do greater works. Some may find it hard to believe, but Jesus was completely serious in his intentions for the church to function just as he said. And man has skewed what church should function like. But it's very evident, if we were to look in the Word of God, Jesus is going to say, this is how the church should function. He was serious in the intention of how the church should function. So today I want us to see how important you are to Jesus Christ as a functioning church. We have to remember, no church or man will be able to do what Jesus did. Without the lordship of Christ in the church or in our life, no achievement can happen. Because, like the scripture says, without him, we can do nothing. He is to be the center. He's the one that is to show us how to function as a church. So let me share in four areas what the church has done regarding great things for the kingdom of God. Number one, the body of Christ has been doing greater works than Jesus geographically. Well, Jesus ministered. Remember, he ministered in Israel and he trained the 12, but yet from the 12 went out. Today, there's no mistake, the world knows about Jesus. But Jesus came with a purpose, and he did his part. When he said it was finished, he did what he was told to do by the Father through training the 12. The 12 going out geographically, fulfillment of prophecies, because I'll be with you till the end of the age. And yet he's wanting all to know about Jesus Christ, about him. Number two, the body of Christ is doing greater works than Jesus numerically. The body of Christ is being told how to minister the word of God, to be a witness and a testimony unto him. But yet in the time in which he was on earth, he ministered. It says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Through the dispensation of time in the church age that we live in, think about what Jesus did within those 12, and yet from the 12 to the 120, from the 120 to where we are today, it's amazing how numerically the word of God is spread across the world, and the message of Jesus Christ is still the same. Man cannot change it, and man will not change it. The message is still the same. Praise the Lord. Number three, the body of Christ is doing greater works than Jesus spiritually. You might say, well, what did Jesus do? Jesus came to give his life, to shed his blood for the sins of the world. He spoke about the Holy Spirit, sending the Holy Spirit, that it's to your advantage that I send the Holy Spirit. Why is that? So that he can minister and use us to reach a lost and dying world. Jesus, through his significance of ministering to the disciples, and from the disciples, here we have the 120 that were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the message just keeps going. But people are being saved today. Matter of fact, as we know, the last two Sundays, we had three come to the Lord two Sundays ago. Last Sunday, we had two people. You know what? The message is still alive about Jesus Christ. And so lives are changed, bodies healed, and Satan is stopped. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's work is working through the body of Christ. Number four is this. The body of Christ has been doing greater works than Jesus in scope. Think about all the orphanages that are around the world because there were parents or situations that happened that they were unloved, and yet people brought them in. Christians brought in the orphans and were loved on and fed the feeding programs that we have that are reaching people around the world based under Christ. The people are being fed, and the orphans are hearing about Jesus Christ. And we think about the radio. How about the message of TV? I had a guy call the church and say, just tell the pastor he's doing a good work. And that's encouragement to me, but he says, I got saved in the 60s when I watched TV and there was a pastor on there and I got saved. Keep up the good work. You're part of that. You're part of that. You're part of the plan of God of getting people to hear about Jesus Christ. And I know that we do ads on TV, but it's about building his kingdom, not our kingdom. It's about building his kingdom, getting people saved. There's the internet. There's that it can be used for good. It can be used for bad. All I'm saying is, as we look at the world, as we see all these things that are involved in spreading the gospel, we need to understand that in scope to Jesus, the church is doing greater works. But we're not superior to Jesus. We're not superior to Jesus. So we have to remember the body of Christ. Christ will always be and is still head of the body, the church. Amen? Reason being, Christ needs to be head of the church so there is divine order and proper function. See, there's divine order and proper function here. Amen? And that's what the church needs because he's the head. We're the body. The body doesn't tell the head what to do. So we got to keep things in perspective here. Jesus doesn't want dysfunction in the house. So let's look at some scripture about dysfunction. Let's look at Proverbs 6:16. I want us to see something very important here as we look at Proverbs 6:16 through 19. Let's look at function versus dysfunction here, all right? Proverbs 6:16. It says, these things the Lord hates. Let's say that together. These six things the Lord hates. Let's say it again. These six things the Lord hates. Wait, if he hates it, then we should probably pay attention to it. Right? If we're called the children of God and he hates this, we should probably pay attention to it. All right? It says, yes, seven are abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. So then we have to ask, does really the Lord hate that? Yeah, it says six things the Lord hates. These six things the Lord hates. As children of God, we should probably pay attention to those things, because when we look at the church, those things can be part of what's happening that the Lord hates. Because I'm talking about function versus dysfunction. All right, let's look at another one, for example. 2 Timothy 2. See, the Word of God is a guide for us. We not only have the guide, we have the Holy Spirit. So when I say I believe in God's presence, the Holy Spirit, isn't that we just have God's presence, the Holy Spirit on Sunday. This is about God's presence, Holy Spirit, every day. Amen? Well, I want God's presence and the Holy Spirit just on Sunday. No, it's God's presence every day, regardless if you're in church or out of church. This is about a lifestyle that you and I are to live to bring glory to the Father. So when we look at 2 Timothy 2:21, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. How many here want to be a vessel of honor? Just raise your hand. Amen. He will be like a vessel of honor. It says, sanctified, useful for the master. How many want to be useful for the master? Yes. Prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, hope, with these who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses. That they may come to their senses. You know, no, Christians sometimes need to come to their senses, escape the snare of the devil. So we see right there, the devil wants to put people in a snare, right? To escape the snare of the devil, having become captive by him to do his will. Now, there's several things that I wanted to share of different stories as far as functional, dysfunctional. Okay, let's take Lucifer, for example. Lucifer was that of the musician. He was the chief musician, right? He was in heaven. And so that was based on the function by God's design. But because of loving himself so much, he became dysfunctional to the point to where the Lord God kicked him out of heaven because of dysfunction. I've seen this. I've said, what's the difference between good and evil? Who's the opposite of God? And I've had people say, the devil's the opposite of God. No, no. God's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's all in all, okay? Well, then he must be a brother to Satan. That's a lie, because the Bible says there's only one begotten Son. And yet, there's religions that will say, well, that's Jesus' brother. Satan is Jesus. That is a lie. That is an absolute lie. He was an archangel equal to Michael, but he was cast down because of his disobedience and love of self. Because he would say, I will exalt myself. I'll do this. I'll do that. Lover of self out of divine order function. God's divine order function. How about Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve in the garden, God's saying, you're in the garden, this is my function. But I don't want you to eat of that tree. But yet the devil came in and says, eat of this apple, because it'll make you like God. Dysfunction. And I believe that's happened today to believers, to where the lie of the enemy says, come on, bite it. Just bite it. to get us in a place of dysfunction. And yet, here's what happened. Because of them being obedient to what Satan wanted, what happened? God booted them out. They were in an incredible place in the garden because they listened to the voice of Satan. They ate of the apple, and what happened? God booted them out and shut the door. Right? Because of dysfunction. Because they weren't willing to listen to function, divine order. They were willing to listen to the father of lies of dysfunction. How about Abraham? Abram. Sarai. There's a promise from God. A covenant that was made. It says that you bear a son. And his name will be Isaac. Because of the covenant that we've made. And because of Abram and Sarai, the thing was, is they were believing in God, but because of the impatience, why don't you sleep with Hagar so the son will come forth dysfunction, right? Instead of relying on the promise of God, the word of God, and being patient, they decided to take it upon themselves to get out of function into dysfunction. So then Hagar bore a son, Ishmael, because of dysfunction. So instead of listening to the voice of God, the promises of God, a covenant that they made based on divine function, what happened was they got into a place of dysfunction because they didn't rely on the promise and the voice of God. Today, we're still dealing with dysfunction. Not good. How about Joshua was told to cross the Jordan, and that all those that didn't believe in God, he said, Joshua and Caleb, those are have a different spirit. Those are the ones that are going to inherit the promised land. And they go across the river. They're fighting the battles. The first fortified city was Jericho. And the Lord said, I want all the treasury to be mine. First fruits. First fruits. I want all the treasury in my possession. So there was this one man named Achan that there was a treasury that when all the spoils came, he hid under his tent the spoils. He wasn't honoring the Lord's wishes. And what happened was when they went out to Ai in the battle, they were defeated by the small fortified town. And Joshua, why did we lose this battle? Why is it? I know the Lord's with us. And the Lord says, there's something cursed among you. And I want you to bring all those in the tribes together. And it came down to Achan. And Achan was destroyed. His family was destroyed. The cattle, all that he had was destroyed because of sin. See, many times we don't see, well, it's no big deal. It's a big deal to God if it comes from his word. So just think that being defeated in the battle of Ai, and then to recognize there's something accursed among you, you need to deal with it before you can start defeating these other fortified cities. How would you feel? You know, I've known Achan for years and his family. I love him. But have you ever thought of that, that knowing based on relationships that we love those guys? Man, I can't believe that's happening. That stronghold of dysfunction in the heart that is affecting not only him, but affecting his family, but also the children of Israel as a nation, based on not following God's divine order of function. But he followed after dysfunction. He said, I coveted those things, rather relying on God. Supplied with all the food, everything that they could possibly want, but it was based on some simple little things that I coveted, and it became dysfunction. How about David and Bathsheba? When he should have been out in war and he saw her bathing on the rooftop, go get her. Dysfunction. Dysfunction. See, he should be ruling as a king. He should have been out in the battle doing what kings do in fighting battles. But no, he was back and he saw Bathsheba. He committed adultery with her. And then to cover things up, he killed her husband, Uriah. Dysfunction. Dysfunction. If we think that God doesn't see what we're doing, we are fools. And it came to the point of where David was thinking he was probably okay, but what happened was that there was a prophet, Nathanael, that came to him and said, you know what? This is what's going on in your life. And he repented. See, repentance is function because it's God's divine order. Dysfunction is when we say, I can get away with this without God knowing or without people knowing. We are fooling ourselves and thinking that that's function when it's really dysfunction. So as a Christian serving Christ, how do we function to honor Christ? Here's some questions I have to ask ourselves as a believer, as one that has the Holy Spirit working in us. How is my attitude? How is my diligence? How is my dependability? Do I show up on time? Do I keep my word? Do I finish what I start? Am I easily offended? Do I pay my bills? Do I show compassion? Do I show the character of Jesus Christ? We may not think of any of those of being honorable, but yet God wants us to be men and women of honor. And these are some of the questions we have to ask ourselves about our character. Is it functional or dysfunctional? So if we get in some intense communication, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is always going to say, you know what, you're going to be operating in function or dysfunction. And so when I get in dysfunction, I'll have the Holy Spirit speaking to me, you know what, you need to correct that because I need you to operate in function of God's divine order, not the flesh's design order. And so after her not talking to me for 3 weeks, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But we can do that. I'm not going to talk to you. Come on. Don't leave me hanging here. But all I'm saying is we can get in a funk that is dysfunctional. When he's saying in the Word of God, do not let the sun go down on your anger. You know what? The next morning it's there whether you like it or not. If you've got sin in your life, guess what? When you get up in the morning, it's going to be there whether you like it or not. Because the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you, say, man of God, woman of God, where's your function that's in line with God, divine order function? Because see, he sees everything that we do. He sees all those things that line up with the Word, and he sees all those things that don't line up the Word in our life. So when we say that we're living for the Master, that means that there's something that we have to do. We're not going to change God. We're not going to change God. God is changing us to be more like Him. And so he says, that's out of line. That's dysfunctional. What I want you to do is get in God's divine order of function. And so then what he says is, you want to know what the function is? Get in here. This is what shows us how to live a divine order of function. I don't want to look in there. Oh, so what you're saying is you don't want to be accountable. We are accountable whether we like it or not, because God sees all things. Okay, so Jesus and the Holy Spirit don't want us living dysfunctional. Let's look at what Paul wrote in these words, Galatians 5:19. It should be part of our lives that we understand in this life that we live, it isn't that we live functional just on Sunday and dysfunctional the rest of the week. No, we're to live functional based on God's plan, His divine order, not disorder, right? And you know me, I'm always going to challenge you just as God challenges me. I'm going to challenge us in this walk, this Christian walk, this faith walk that we have, because God doesn't want us to be consumed by the snares of the enemy, the snares of the devil. He wants us to be men and women of God that are knowing what the will of the Father is and that we operate in that for His glory. We're children of God. As children, we need guidance. We need wisdom for our life because we are children of the Most High. Okay. So I look at this in Galatians 5:19 through 21. I look at this as dysfunctional. Okay? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries of the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because it's dysfunctional. It's not God divine order. Pastor, you mean we're not supposed to make mistakes? Not if we can help it. But we do. We better repent rapidly. Because God wants us to have a right heart. Remember, it says a pure heart. God wants us to have a pure heart. All right, let's look at Galatians 5:22. This is functional. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's functional. That's what he wants us to do. That we're not only being led by the Word of God, but we're also being led by the Spirit of God. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When Jesus said, I must go, it's to your advantage that I might send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Why is that? So that we can walk in the Spirit. That he wants us to live by the fruit of the Spirit and be men and women of God that honor Christ in every area of our life. Why? Because he sees all that's going on in our life. He knows what's going on. And so he's the God of order. He wants us to be in a place of where we're not conformed to this world, but we were transformed by the renewing of our mind. To be more like him. So walking according to the kingdom of God's divine order is functional. Walking according to Satan's ways or the fleshly ways of order are dysfunctional. See, when I do something bad, the Holy Spirit and the Word say dysfunction. You need to make this right because we're living in the Spirit. See, there's not one perfect man or woman in this room. There's not one perfect man or woman outside this room. There was only one that was perfect. That was Jesus Christ. And so by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, he's shaping us to be more like him. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be more like him. See, what happens many times based on our past, we look at dysfunction and then we put a label across our forehead, I'm dysfunctional. I think that's one of the biggest lies there ever was. I think when we label ourselves, I'm just dysfunctional, my family's dysfunctional, all these things are dysfunctional. Wait. What does the Word say? What does the Word of God say? He's not holding your past to hold you hostage. He's saying, you're a creation in Christ. I see righteousness. Now live as righteousness. But many times we can buy the lie of, my past is greater than my future. When we see ourselves as a new creation in Christ, he's saying, look, I'm seeing you new. I'm seeing you new now. See, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Praise God, he doesn't hold us in bondage by our past. See, we're always moving forward in the things of God. We should be always moving forward in our relationship. Our relationship with him should intensify every day in a great way. Because that's what he wants, is the relationship with us. So why was the Holy Spirit sent? So he would dwell in us and through us, so we'd be more like Jesus in character by the way we think, say, and do. Amen? All right, last scripture, look at Colossians 1. Paul had this great revelation. I pray that we never leave here thinking that life could never get better. Life in the Lord is always better. The circumstance you're in may not be so good, but our relationship with Christ is better. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, that's why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. It says, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have so much to be thankful for. Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. God had a plan, and you're in that plan. You're in that plan. Amen.